Morning, everyone. Today, I'd like to take a few minutes of your time to talk to you about a character that we may have read about, we may know a little bit about, and I wanted to point out a few things that concern him that may also concern us. But before I try to bring this forth, I want to say a quick prayer to ask the Lord to give me strength and the Lord to help us to understand, all of us, to understand what he wants us to know. Oh Lord, I come before you at this time. I thank you for this opportunity to be able to be a vessel for you, to deliver your message, and not only to the people that are under the sound of my voice, but also to myself as well. Help us all, Lord, to draw from this the message that you would have us to know, that we would take it and use it to help us in our everyday Christian life, to be able to live as you would have us to live and to show Christ to others that we come in contact with. I ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, this lesson is the part of the scripture was read to you and you're hearing this morning. It came from Luke chapter 19, verses 8 to 10. Actually, this lesson comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And it tells about this little guy in stature named Zacchaeus. And just quickly, I'm going to read over that little part. It's only 10 verses, but it's very quick. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusations, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, a few lessons I want to try to portray to you that we could get from this. During that time of Zacchaeus' time period, the job that he had was a job that people looked down on, especially the Jews at that time. Because the Jews didn't like the Romans, and Zacchaeus worked for the Romans. So they took it as the fact that he was a traitor, that he was working for people that was against them. And his job of taking the taxes, which a lot of people, tax collectors at that time, they didn't do their job faithfully and dutifully. Some of them charged people more than what the taxes was worth, or more than what they should have. And they put the extra money in their pocket. Remember, if you will, last Sunday, I spoke about good people that may find a little bit of money and they would turn it in, but they wouldn't turn all of it in because they felt like the Lord had blessed them. But we know differently. Well, because of the occupation that he had, people looked at people like Zacchaeus, the tax collectors, as being dishonest. Some of them may have taken money before. Zacchaeus could have been one of those. But he called himself a good person, trying to be a good person. If he wasn't, he probably wouldn't have told the Lord what he told him, that he'd give half of his funds to the poor. But he was still looked upon with distaste. Now, we today, and I'm sure we all have done it at some point or another in our lives, we look at people and we frown upon them, maybe because of the type of job they have. It may be because of the fact that they are comfortably, let's see, how can I say, they are financially comfortable. And it may be because of the type of job that they have. But we look at them and say, well, if I had that type of funds that they had, I would do this. Or if I was in their shoes, I would do that. And we kind of frown on the people because of what they have or because of what they do. Now, we know for a fact that if you take a dollar, $1, as far as that goes, you could take 50 cents. It doesn't matter how much the amount is, but if you take anything that is not right, it's not rightfully yours, it's wrong. And that is not what the Lord wants us to do. But if a person earns their money or gets their money by correct way, which they work for it, or they may have inherited or whatever way to get it without stealing it, and they give it to the Lord or put it towards the Lord's purpose, that is a good thing. But if you take money wrong and then you try to put it towards the Lord's work, that is not a good thing. Now, it may be some that you may know. I personally don't know of any, and I don't mean to be stepping on anyone's toes purposely. I'm just trying to say what I believe is the right thing. If a person, any person, goes out, they play the lottery, they go to Las Vegas, they do anything and gamble and win money, a good sum of money, and then they say, I'm going to give a portion of this to the church. And they feel like they're doing a good thing. I ask you, is it right? Because you did not get that money honestly. You got it by a way of gambling, a way of taking a chance, a risk. That is not what the Lord would have us to do. Even if we were poor to the fact that we had no other way of attaining funds, if we ended up getting to the level of being a beggar, I think, and this is my opinion, I think that the Lord will look more graciously upon us as a beggar than he would a gambler. Because regardless, if you are playing the lottery or gambling at Las Vegas, you're still a gambler. You're not trusting in the Lord to supply. And the scripture tells us that the Lord will supply all of our needs for every good work. Well, for you to take care of yourself and your family is a good work. That is just a thought. But to look at Zacchaeus, he was frowned upon because of his dislike. The people disliked him because of his occupation. There was no proof of the fact that he took anybody's money, but he was still frowned upon because of the job that he held. Now, there's very few people today, or very few young people, put it like that. Well, there's some old folks, older people also, that don't have enough interest in the Lord to do the Lord's work. They're more interested in the things of this world. You have people, if the day was 90 degrees, you have people that say, well, I've worked all week. Today is the day that the Lord took for rest, so I'm going to rest and I'm going to take my boat and I'm going out on the water. Okay, what's wrong with going out on the water? Why didn't you go to church first? if you went out on that water and the boat capsized, the first thing you're going to say is, "Oh, Lord." But you didn't think to say, "Oh, Lord, let me come and worship you. Hopefully I will have a wonderful day out on that water." Because the Lord still gives you the whole day. He gives you an opportunity to make up your mind as to what you want to do. But few people, as I said, consider the Lord first before they consider doing what they want to do. Now we have, in our day and time, people that are considered little people. Now Zacchaeus was a man of little stature, a short person. That's why he climbed the sycamore tree. But we have people that we consider little people because of maybe the position, the type of job that they have, or the way that we see them. How about the checkout clerk at the grocery store? How about the person that's at the window when you drive up to McDonald's? How about the service station attendant? How about when some of you may not have this type of person, but the newspaper carrier? In my day, we used to have people come around and bring newspaper to you, to your door. Well, we do have maybe a mail carrier. People that we look at, we see them, I wouldn't say every day, but so close to every day that we could just say every day. They may not be small in stature, but they still are little people in our eyesight because we see them and we don't see them. How about the trash collector? Only time he's important is if he don't show up. How about the employee at City Hall? When you go there and they have gotten something wrong on your bill, and you go in there a little perturbed. You want to talk to somebody, not just anybody, but you want to talk to somebody that's going to listen. Now how about when we go in any big building and the person that's pushing them up, the custodian? These people are God's people also. And these people may be seeking to find God, and some of them may not. But it is our duty to try to carry ourselves in a manner that we can show God to them. And maybe if we have opportunity to tell them about God. It could be a very simple thing, like just saying, "Have a blessed day." I don't know if any of you have noticed, I've seen a commercial that comes on television. It's this lady, she goes up to Chick-fil-A rather often. And when she gets her cup of coffee, I think it is, that she gets in the morning, and one of the employees there has written on the cup, "Have a blessed day." And it really stuck with her. So much so that she went in to try to find out who it was that was writing it on his cup every day. She wanted to meet this person. That was an open door right there for her to tell him about God. It may not happen to us every day, so much so as you have an opportunity to tell somebody about God right at that particular time, but the way in which you carry yourself and the things that you do will stand out and be noticed. Someone that's looking for God may not be able to find him by a lot of different doctrines and commandments of men. Now, in the biblical times, they had things that they were telling them that they had to do. At one point, they even told new Christians, especially men, that they had to be circumcised, which wasn't necessarily a requirement. But we have some churches that have people jumping through hoops and doing certain stuff and telling them they have to dress and act a certain way. Christ said, "Come as you are and accept everyone."
regardless of what stature they are, in height, or what they do for a living, or whatever kind of person they are. If anything, our duty is to help someone that may be a little less fortunate than we are, to help them to feel comfortable and fit in. And if they don't have a decent pair of shoes, then maybe you may have a pair of shoes in your closet that you don't wear anymore that you can give to them so they won't feel so bad. But still, anything to help them to find Christ. And this way, you will be showing them Christ. That's what Christ would do. Now, Zacchaeus probably never dreamed, even though he climbed in that tree, to see Christ pass by. I don't think he expected Christ to stop and look up and say, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to come to your house today. How would we act if we had the opportunity that Christ was to meet us anywhere at any time and say, I'm going to go home with you today. I want to eat at your table today. You're going on a trip? I want to go with you today. I want to go out on the lake with you in your boat today. I want to go, you're getting ready to take a vacation, I want to go on your vacation with you. What kind of excuses would we make up? Well, Christ, I really didn't plan for the taking anybody with me today. I don't have enough room in my car. I got so much stuff packed in there. I'm only going to be gone for a little while. I really don't have the time. We would be giving excuses after excuses. Because we're human. And because we may not think that we are worthy. But if Christ died for us, then we are worthy. He thought enough for us before we were born to give his life for each and every one of us. How much time can we give him? Honestly, give him. Would you go out and tell your neighbors, like the woman at the well, Christ is at my house. Come and see him. Come and see him. Or if someone came to your house, would you try to hurry up and get rid of them because you got Christ inside and you don't want him to know what kind of company you keep? Just some practical things that we hopefully we get from this lesson, using Zacchaeus as an example. Now, Zacchaeus came down out of the tree hurriedly and joyful. He was so happy that Christ recognized him and thought enough of him to spend time with him. Doing the work for the Lord is supposed to be a joyful work, although sometimes it's very hard. A typical example, which I can share just because I've experienced it, going out knocking on people's doors to invite them to church. That's supposed to be a joyful work. Sometimes you meet people that will verbally abuse you and tell you, get away from my door, get off my property. Some may even sick a dog on you. But it's supposed to be joyful work. And you say, well, how can I be joyful if this kind of stuff is happening to me? Some people won't even open their door. Just to meet someone on the street and say, we'd like to invite you to the AHL Church of Christ. We meet on Sundays. And they tell you, oh, I ain't got time for that. And then you get offended. Imagine what they said to Christ, what they did to him. The same people that was hollering, Hosanna, Hosanna, and spreading palms in front of him when he rode into the city on the donkey was the same one that was standing in the crowd hollering, crucify him, crucify him. But to know that you're doing good is what makes it joyful.
And it would be so much more blessed when you stand before judgment to know everything that you've done. Not what you coulda, shoulda, woulda. It's too late then. Now we also have those that criticize Christ for eating with Zacchaeus because of who he was. Don't think by any means, because we take that example and try to do good, that we're not going to get criticized. We're not going to be talked about. We're not going to get put down. Because we are. Remember, we made the decision to follow Christ. Nobody twisted our arm. Nobody told us they're going to give us so much money if you say you'll be a Christian. Nobody promised you anything except Christ promised you that the road would be hard. But we made that decision. So when we are criticized, we should be like Paul and say, I count it all as good. Because great will be our reward in heaven when we do stand before Christ to get our just reward. But to know that you could, you should, you would, and you didn't, what can Christ say for you in your behalf? Well, I knew that he was going to, or I knew he wanted to, or I knew that she thought about it, but she didn't. Only then will it mount a great deal. One other thing, Zacchaeus said that he give half of his, you see, I give half of his goods to the poor. That was showing his true heart. If he thought he was wrong, if anybody had said that he treated them wrong, and to show that he did that, then he would give half of his goods. Now, I know times are hard today, and no one is expecting no one else to give half of what they work for the furtherment of God's kingdom. You give what you purpose in your heart. The Lord blesses you, you give back a portion of that which he blessed you with. If truth will be told, as I said before, when I've had the table doing collections, if we had to pay back to God for all the blessings that he's bestowed upon us, no way in the world we could do it. Things that we don't even think about. Water is free. No, it's not. We had to pay a water bill every month. But most places you can go, you ask for a drink of water, somebody will give you a drink of water. Or if they see you need some, they will give you a drink of water. But Christ provides that water for each and everybody that lives on the face of the earth. All over the world, water is there. Air is free. Well, some people have to pay for air because they needed to breathe. That's, you know, to go around with the oxygen tank. But Christ made that available for you to have everything you need. And although food is sky high, it's still available. There's even some places you go to, people will give it up. May not be what you want. You can't get in the line and go up there and say, well, y'all not giving out steaks today? You're not giving out pork chops today? Oh, I thought y'all were giving a roast. But you will have something to eat. And there's never been a time yet that we've said, when we got together here as a congregation and have eaten, and guests have come in, there's never been a time yet that I know of that anybody came here as a guest or was a member or whatever and didn't get enough to eat. Because the Lord always provides. But he wants us to have that same heart that Zacchaeus had,
that we'll give back a portion of that which we've been blessed with. Now, sad to say, some people are so concerned with what goes on in the world today, and I've been in that same situation. I don't know how I'm going to pay this upcoming bill that is due. I can't think of no kind of way I can get it. I can't go to the bank and make a loan. It's a funny thing. I've got a lot of friends when I'm sharing, but when I'm in need, I don't have too many friends that I can call on. And this bill is pressing, maybe not to the point where I've gotten put out of my house or about to be put out of my house or whatever. But I definitely need to take care of this bill. And sure enough, after that bill gets paid, sooner or later, another bill is going to come around. And I have to make a decision, whether you're going to put this money in church or you're going to pay this bill. Do I trust the Lord or do I trust myself? You may never know where our blessing is going to come from. But there's been times where I've at the point where I'm up against the wall. The bill is due tomorrow. I don't have the money. And I go to the mailbox and here's a check. Or someone has come and gave me some money to help me because they knew my situation at that particular time. It's nothing but the grace of God. Because I didn't see it. There's a little commercial I like. The man be standing there and the lady painting his picture. And he looked at it and he said, I don't see it. I didn't see it. But God is always there. The thing is, God sees everything and he knows everything. So, if he knows our heart, and if we give earnestly and depend on him, why wouldn't he help us when he said already, test me and see whether or not I open up the doors to heaven. And you will have more blessings than you have a place to put it. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not saying it, quoting verse for verse. But there have been so many times when I didn't know how things were going to turn out. I prayed earnestly. And it was a blessing. I don't know how it happened, but the Lord knows. And one other thing about false accusations. Zacchaeus said, if anyone by false accusation, he will restore fourfold. False accusation is telling the untruth about someone. Do we give false accusations about someone because we are angry at a particular time? Because we don't like a particular person? To get back or to get even? Now, I know people in the world do that because they would just tell lies on you just because, you know. We are, as a church family, we can get falsely accused because of one thing that somebody does that's not even affiliated with this church. All them churches the same. I don't have nothing to do with none of them. All of them the same thing. How much more do we get accused if it was someone that was from our congregation? Somebody that you work with, that they may have started the job same time you did. You got a promotion, they didn't. Now they're mad with you and they start telling lies on you. Only thing you can do is carry yourself in a godly manner and let that truth speak for itself. They may start to lie, but somebody else will say, oh, no, they never act like that around me. I don't know about that. But I got to see it for myself. We should carry ourselves in a manner in which Christ should be seen in everything that we do. For a long time, I myself used to say there's two things I would never do. I never wanted to be a policeman. I never wanted to be a preacher. Because those two things, you're always in the public eye. Look what God got me at now. Not that I'm preaching, but I'm trying to deliver a message. Because I wear the name of Christ, I'm out here in the street every day. And I'm concerned about what I do, what I say, how I carry myself. Not so much, I mean, the thought does cross my mind, but it's not so much because I don't want to make a bad name for everybody that's here. I don't want to make a bad name for Christ. I don't want nobody to come to me and say, oh, I thought you was a Christian. And here you are, you cussing more than me. I don't want nobody to say, oh, he's such a big Christian. He was with us the other night drinking more than we were drinking. I've changed my ways. Trying my best to live a godly life. Because I believe that in the day of judgment, I'm going to have to stand up and give an account for me. Some of you may be there, some of you may not. But I don't mean no harm and disrespect. But whether you be there, whether you don't be there, if you could say anything, it ain't going to matter. Because it's only going to be about me. There's going to be me standing there before judgment. And only what I did. And it's going to count for me. None of you are going to be able to go in with me, for me, in front of me, behind me. We're going to be holding hands. We're going to be singing and skipping along. When I stand before judgment, I'll be standing there by myself. And when Christ opens the book of life, he's going to only talk about everything that I've done. And from what point did I change my life and what I did from that point on? Same way it would be for you. Nobody's going to be standing up there and say, oh, he was a good guy. Oh, he used to do this, but then he stopped doing it. Because Christ's going to have it right there in the book already. So, as we look at Zacchaeus, I hope that we can draw some good qualities from this little man. Went out of his way to see Christ. And we do our best to try to see Christ each day that we live and try to show Christ to others as we come in contact with him. We're not perfect. We never will be. But we strive to be like Christ, to show others the way and to do our best. This is my lesson for this morning. You have heard a portion of the word. In order to become a Christian, you have to hear God's word. You have to believe what you hear. And you have to confess and repent. If you believe it, you will want to repent because you don't want to keep doing the things you know are wrong. And you have to confess it before others. And then you have to be baptized. And this is not something I'm saying. This is the plan that Christ has put into place for anyone that wants to come to him. But after you do all that, the hardest part comes with trying to live each day to show Christ in your life. To stand up and to confess is easy. Because people can lie every day. Although God will know your heart. Christ will know your heart. But you can easily lie. You can sit there and you can listen to the word and you can, I got a brother My mom used to talk to him. She used to say the words didn't go in one ear and out the other. It just hit his ear and went around and kept on going. But, you know, you can hear that, and you don't have to accept it. But if you believe, it's going to make a change in you. There's no way that you can continue to keep doing the things that you do if you call yourself being a Christian and God is in you. He's supposed to make a change in you. Your job, each and every day you live, is to try to show that change. And I don't mean you got to go out and stand on top of a soapbox or stand on a corner and tell everybody to come back. Christ lives and He saved my life, but you can't do one-on-one and tell anybody that will listen. We all have relatives, young and old. We got friends. They may not believe in the same thing you believe in, but you have an opportunity. The same way you had that opportunity to talk about them soap operas, the Super Bowl, the high price of food, what's going on in the White House, you have the opportunity to talk about Christ also. I'm not saying people will stand around and listen, but you would have done your part in sowing the seed. So I hope you receive this message today, and it will help you in your everyday life, to help you to be a better Christian and to spread the word of God. If there's anyone that has anything on your heart that you would like to bring forward that we could pray about, or if anyone feels like they want to come forward, do so as we stand and sing.